The United States, people look to the President of the United States to give them direction and information and calm, because you need to know that somebody's in charge. And when we have a problem, who do we look to? We look to God, because you know that God is in charge. Not science, but God. And the Bible tells us in Ezekiel 33 that the watchman, or the pastor, is the watchman on the wall and needs to make a clear sound, not based on opinion, but based on what does the Word of God say. So I don't really have to preach this morning. All you have to do is read Scripture, because God already gives us the answer, and God already gives us the comfort. Hosea, in the second chapter, talks about how he lured people out into the wilderness in order to comfort them. And sometimes we're put in a situation that we can't handle, so God can comfort us somehow. And I believe that through all of this, you know what Joseph said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. So if you look at Psalms 91, starting in verse number 9, it says, "Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling." Hallelujah. And then Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 33. "But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil." Amen. Chapter 3 and verse number 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones." And then, scripture I used yesterday morning, Exodus chapter 15. These are all for our comfort, folks. Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26, it says, "And said, If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all of his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee." Do we believe it? Do we believe it? That's where I get my calm. That's where I get my peace. Where I get my resolve. I'm not wringing my hands. I believe God is in charge of my life. Amen. Lord, we ask your blessing upon the Word of God this morning. Touch it, and God, calm the waters. Show yourself strong on our behalf, God. We're not like other people. We are your bride. We ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Good to see everybody here. Amen. I passed several churches this morning, and the parking lots were empty, completely empty. You know what that is? That's fear. The whole world is in a panic and chaos over the pandemic of coronavirus. And we can find ourselves in the same fear and trepidation if we lose our confidence in God. Because we're getting so much negative information, we can start to doubt our own faith and confidence that we have in God. God tells us throughout the scripture, neither shall any plague come nigh unto thy dwelling. And I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. So God's taking credit for some of the diseases that happen in this world, but there must be a benefit to this world for such a thing as this. And as I said yesterday morning at prayer, there are about 20 cases of coronavirus in Wisconsin, and we have over 6 million people in Wisconsin. There's 40-some cases in the United States out of 327 million people in the United States. Every year, between 60 and 80,000 people die of the flu. Just facts. See, the facts are important. I also mentioned yesterday morning, that Friday, Brother John Putnam, our former district superintendent, sent me a copy of pages of a book, The Eyes of the Darkness. Now, this man is not a spiritual man. He's a graphic novelist. I don't know if he knows God or not, but this book was written in 1981 and predicted that in 2020 that there would be a severe pneumonia likeness that would spread throughout the globe, starting in Wuhan, China. Now, people are picking up this book, buying it, because they're looking for somebody who can give them directions. I don't know if this guy has God in his life, but I do know that God has obviously opened a door of insight for them in order to come and give us direction. You see, I don't take advice from non-Christian people, but this can't be a coincidence, you see. People all over the world are relying on signs to help them when we're relying on God to help us. Now, I believe that we should be cautious. We should not panic or be fearful. We should exercise good hygiene, washing our hands, not touching our face. And I'm not making light of this problem at all. But there has to be some clarification. There has to be some sanity in this whole thing, you see, because literally people who don't know God are, and even some people who know God are getting to the place where they're thinking irrationally, they're panicking, hallelujah, because every day, people are telling them how bad it is. But the enemy wants us to panic, and thus the word pandemic. We quote Romans 8 and 28 all the time, and we know that all things work together for good for them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, not our purpose. So what good could come out of this pandemic? Well, what about the backsliders who haven't decided to come back to church? Maybe they're shaken to their socks, and they'll come back. What about those who don't know God? They're looking for somebody who's going to give them reassurance that somebody is in charge and it's going to be all right. 9/11, the church filled up with people, you know. 1988, because people thought Jesus was coming back, they came back in droves. And maybe that's what will cause a revival in the church. It's not just, hey, here, could you come to church? Maybe God will create a fear in their hearts and say, I need help from above. Amen. So what is the real pandemic in the world? This is a fake one. The real pandemic is people are dying in sin and we have the cure. Isn't that amazing? Instead of people rushing to the hospital, they realize I've been infected with sin and I got to get to church, and I got to get to church fast. And I better get there so there's a seat for me. Amen. Hallelujah. Doctors and science say, wash your hands and isolate yourself from everybody that you know. Amen. I'm glad you didn't take that advice, at least the last one. Amen. Well, God's approach is a lot different. We go after people who are infected. Hallelujah. You got problems. Can you come over to my house? We'll teach you a Bible study. We're not worried about something jumping on us. We try to gather together all of the more as we see the deadline approaching. Oh, we are careful that we wash our hands, but our disinfectant is the Word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. A little bottle of disinfectant is like going for $50 on Amazon if you can find it. Amen. And Bibles are coming down in price. Jesus said in John 15 and 3, "Now ye are clean through the word I have spoken unto you." What you don't realize is you're being sanctified and cleansed this morning in the words of the message that is preached. God is sanctifying you because of the Word of God. Ephesians 5 and 26 says that God might sanctify or make holy and cleanse us with the washing of the water by the Word of God. So when we come into the house of God and hear the Word of God, there is a separation, there is a cleansing that takes place, whether you know it or not. You're under the Shekinah glory of God that hovers over you and perfects you and disinfects you from all of the stuff that clinged on you during the week. We can all gather together this morning because we are cleansed by the Word. Hallelujah. We're protected by the Word. Turn to Hebrews, the 10th chapter, please. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hold fast. We are professionals. We're professional saints because we get paid by God. Amen. Isn't it amazing that people are cleaning out the stores of water, and yet there is no shortage of living water in every service that we have? No limit to how much water that we can get, living water. Jesus said in John 7 and 37, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink, that he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." How many have running water in your house? Glory to God. So if you don't get a case of water, you'll be all right. I think you'll be all right. You know, and we draw that water through worship. Amen. Not fear. Amen. There's a refreshing that happens in worship. Isaiah 12 and 3 says, "Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the well of salvation." Hallelujah. Get excited about God. This was an incredible song service and special. There was a joy that would just reverberate in this place. Hallelujah. Because God sees what's going on in our life, and sometimes there's a little bit of a fear that takes place, and God can remove it. See, perfect love casts out all fear. When you're feeling the presence of God, you're saying, "Hey, what could ever happen to me? God's with me," you see. So why are we so fearful of what is happening? It's a lack of right information and the reality of God's word. Turn to Ephesians 6 and 12. Ephesians 6 and 12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities." And I looked up that word principalities yesterday, and it says political powers. Against powers, and that word meant delegated influence. What happens? The media is responsible for that. Against rulers of darkness of this world. Who's that? The enemy of our soul. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. Why are people so fearful? Because of what is being reported. A lot of confusing information and nobody who is saying this. See, they hated Jesus because he didn't say, "Well, I think this is what it means." He said, "No, here is the facts," you see. So I choose to put my faith in God that he will protect the church that he paid such a great price for. And I pray we all can get to that place where we have comfort. Be careful for nothing but in everything. Hallelujah. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your mind and your heart. Think on these things, those things that are pure and lovely and of a good report. So we can learn a lot from the story of Nebuchadnezzar. He conquered Jerusalem and tore down all of the walls of the city. It was flat. And he took the choices of the Hebrews to be trained to serve him in the Babylonian government. Today's society wants to tear down all the walls of our protection. Wants to tear down the churches, make them into museums. Wants to take our holiness stance away from us. Our dependency upon God. They want to take the choices. That's the church. They want to take us into captivity to be trained to do what everybody else does in society. There's a parallel. There's a parallel. And like Nebuchadnezzar, it's the time we are living in. Yes, they know about God. Everybody knows about God. Everybody knows about the church. Everybody knows about the Pentecostal fanatics. But pride says that they would rather overcome with their own intellect, with their own assets, you see, than to submit to a God that they can't see. After Daniel showed the king of God's great miracles and wonders, he continued to pride himself in his own greatness. There are people who know about God. You've talked to them. You've witnessed to them about the miracles that God has performed even in your own life, and then yet they choose not to serve God, but, well, brag about their own accomplishments. And so God gave Nebuchadnezzar a dream, which was interpreted by Daniel, that the king would be given a heart of a beast and that he would live in the fields and eat grass as oxen for 7 years if he didn't start to depend upon God. And 1 year later, as the king walked through his palace, this is what he said: "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the honor of my majesty?" You're in trouble. When you ever take credit for what God has done, you're in trouble. Hallelujah. When we start to direct people based on how I feel or what the media says, we're in trouble, folks. Glory to God. Have we ever been to the place where the government can tell us you can't go to church? We're there. Hallelujah. If you'll turn to Daniel, the 4th chapter. Daniel chapter 4 and verse 28. And all this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked into the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, "Is not this Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?" While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and 7 times shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will." It's God that rules. Hallelujah. I don't care what you've accomplished. I don't care how strong you think you are. It's still God that ruleth. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar that he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hair were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. Nice looking guy. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned. Sounds like the prodigal son. And my understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. Oh, I need to come to myself. Well, how did you come to yourself? Problems. Not looking as good as I used to look. And when the prodigal son was eating with the pigs, I think I had it better in church. And now I want to praise you. Oh, I want to give you glory. Hallelujah. This is a time when men can look like men but act like beasts. Amen. Peter said, separate yourself from this toward warped generation. The things men do to each other are unthinkable. Today we're living in a Babylonian culture that is filled with confusion and violence and perversion and drugs, and it just doesn't seem to bother people anymore, and we can get to the place where it doesn't bother us either. And if we aren't careful, we can be turned into the same as the culture that is around us. Now in Romans chapter 1, we read of people who were saved and then slumped to such an immoral and ungodly position that they became reprobate, or they were void of God's judgment. God wouldn't do that to me. I can continue to do this. See, here's the problem. When we get to the place where we willfully sin after we've come to the knowledge of truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice, but a fiery judgment. And the misconception is this, is, well, I did it and God didn't do anything to me. Well, that's the mercy of God. Maybe if it were like a hot stove or something else that immediately caused us to recoil from the sin, well, maybe it'd be easier. But we find that, well, you know, I'm void of judgment. I don't think God will judge me for that. I think he now accepts it, even though it doesn't say that in the Word of God. It's a warning to us. It's like the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. Listen, if you don't respond to me, there's going to be something that's coming into your life. So turn to Romans, the first chapter. Verse number 17, it says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. So for years I've said this. I've had people who have been in truth who said, well, God no longer is concerned about righteousness or holiness and sanctification. And yet, you know, we're staying with the doctrine. I don't know one person who has ever said that, that stayed with the doctrine, because God said, you cannot hold truth in unrighteousness. Give it back to me, see? And all of a sudden, they're in delusion. Why? Because they become reprobate, void of judgment. They don't believe God's word any longer. Verse 21 says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and the creeping things, worshiping creatures rather than worshiping God. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change their natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning in their lust one towards another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and received into themselves the recompense of their error which was met. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, hater of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Unthinkable. Now, we're not talking about the world here, God, people. They're talking about people who knew God, who would not acknowledge God. We're looking at a Babylonian society that we're in, you see. This chapter gives seven steps leading to a reprobate mind or void of judgment. I don't care about God. People who have been filled with the Holy Ghost and they don't even care. They've had miraculous things happen in their life. But step by step, they walked away from God into a delusion. The first step is when they knew God, they glorified him not. Don't tell me that praise and worship is not important. Don't tell me that church is just an optional thing. Because if we know God and then we glorify him not and he's not important in our life anymore, it's the start. The second step is neither were they thankful. The Bible tells us to give thanks in all things. We can't even enter into his gates, according to Psalms 100, without thankfulness. Thank you, God. I don't know how many times I say thank you, God, to walking into this place. The third step is they became vain in their imaginations. The word vain means empty and yet full of vanity. More interested in themselves than God. Sounds like Nebuchadnezzar. Sitting in pews on a Sunday morning thinking, what am I going to do this afternoon? Where are we going to go eat? More interested in what's going to happen in their lives than getting close to God. That's the third step. The fourth step is that their foolish heart was darkened. When a person entertains evil, when a person walks into something they know that God would not be pleased with, the light that was once there soon turns to darkness. And they are no longer interested in the things of God, and they find themselves hard-pressed to come to church or open a Bible or even talk to God at all. The fifth step is they, professing themselves wise, they became fools. That's what happened with Europe. Europe is, they have some unbelievable cathedrals I've been in, but they're museums because they're too smart to go to church anymore. They have too much intellect. They have too much pride. We have culture. We don't need church. You can always tell a backslider, but you can't tell them much. The sixth step is this. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image made like corruptible man and to birds and to four-footed beasts and creeping things. People who want to save the spotted owl, but they don't care about unborn babies. They just passed a bill in the House. And one of the sleazy people in the House tried to slip in $1 billion for abortion in that bill in order to help people with coronavirus. The last and seventh step is they changed the truth of God into a lie. A person doesn't receive a revelation of Jesus Christ and then suddenly don't believe in a one God anymore. Doesn't happen. Or the necessity of baptism in Jesus' name or the infilling of the Holy Ghost. It's the conclusion of a reprobate mind who started out not glorifying God or being thankful to God at all. And all of a sudden, God says, give it back. I entrusted you with the most valuable thing on the face of the earth. But considering you don't care about it, give it back to me. You can find those people who used to sit on pews and they don't care about God at all. What happened to them? It's a gradual process, starting with the first step towards a reprobate mind. Could it happen to one of us? Yes. Not one of us are exempt. All it takes is a little stepping back. I wonder what they call that. Oh, yeah, backsliding. Just a little bit. Not important anymore. And all of a sudden, you find yourself void of judgment. Hallelujah. Any one of us could turn from God and end up with a heart of a beast. If we examine the lives of people who ended up with the heart of a beast, we would note that they had a pride about themselves. Don't tell me anything. No longer would take instruction, for they professed to know more than anybody else. Not looking for guidance to help them. They forgot that God alone saved them. They forgot the great mercy and the great grace of God that allowed them to have access to the kingdom of God. How can we yield to the media that glorifies homosexuality? The answer is found in Romans 1. Once people have a reprobate heart, it will approve of anything that goes on in the world. And when Nebuchadnezzar emerged from his beastly state, he praised God, and he acknowledged God. In Daniel 4 and 34, it says, I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. But there had to be something traumatic in his life in order to cause him to come to himself and realize, you know what, all of this stuff that's going on, it's got nothing to do. I'm praising my God. We're living in a Babylonian society where sinful pressures are pushed on us all of the time, but we must refuse their carnal enticements so we can always hear the voice of God and always have the blessing of God upon us. So there isn't any fear. You see, it's my greatest comfort to have a good relationship with God, because if I have a good relationship with God, I don't fear what's going to happen to me. Hallelujah. Have you ever walked into a room at high school or college and you know you didn't prepare for the test and I'm a little fearful? But if you have studied, if you have done everything you can, you walk in there with such confidence that let's get this thing over with, you know? When you walk into the house of God knowing, my life is good with our God. I talk to him. I'm blessed. I'm trying to live the best that I possibly can according to his words. Well, I'll tell you what, you feel confident in God. When our relationship with God is not where it should be, everything is a cause for fear. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not afraid of the fire. We know that our God can deliver us, but if not, what's wrong with you? They had a close relationship with God. Even though they were living in a Babylonian society, they had a close relationship with God. Daniel, I'm not afraid of those lions. Even though he's living in Babylonian, I'm not worried about it. There's no fear in this whole thing. But King Saul was so frightened that he called for the witch of Endor in order to give him some advice. Why? Because he wasn't living for God anymore. Fear came over him. Last week I talked about Paul and Silas singing songs in prison, knowing that tomorrow could be the last day on this earth. I think I will follow their pattern of faith. If you want to have comfort, if you want to have security, if you want to have confidence in God to take care of you and your family, get as close to God as you possibly can. I'm telling you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Our last scripture. Psalms 56. Psalms 56, starting in verse number 9. You might want to mark this in your Bible whenever you get, full of anxiety of some kind. And, you know, I don't know why Paul said this at the end, I fought a good fight, but he probably had some battles. And if Paul had some battles, we're going to have some battles, you know? We have to put on the whole armor of God. Why? Because it just feels good? No, because we need it in order to survive a world that we're living in right now. So Psalms 56 in verse number 9 says, when I cried unto thee, then shall thine enemy turn back? This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. Get the instructions from the word. Get the facts from his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praise unto thee, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling? that I may walk before God in the light of the living. See, there are some people who are going to watch us now. And they're wondering, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? We're going to cancel church? We're going to be afraid? We're going to drink disinfectant? Going to walk in church with disinfectant dripping from our hands? We're going to be shaking? Hallelujah. No, we got a God. Hallelujah. We've got a God that loves us and will not leave us. He will always be with us. Hallelujah. This is a test. Amen. Hallelujah. We demonstrate our confidence in God by how we respond to difficult situations in our life. Amen. And there is a whole legion of angels that are cheering for us. Oh, I just did you see that church down in Caledonia? Did you see it, God? Did you see them? They're not responding like everybody else in the world. Did you see them, God? Hallelujah. Because I'm a child of the King. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he loves me. Yes. And he loves you. Would you stand with me? Glory to God. Amen. Now I feel better. Amen. Church should make you feel better. Amen. Should make you feel confident. Amen. When I leave here later after the altar call, I'm going to see if I can find a restaurant that's open. Glory to God. Amen. And I'm going to be happy and joyful and excited about the future. Because God's got a better future for us. I feel so privileged to be living in the generation that's going to be raptured, folks. He had confidence in you and me that we would rejoice, not like the last generation or the generation before that or the generation before that, but he has confidence in us. That we're going to be a witness to the rest of the world. And here's our opportunity. Amen. The altar's open. Would you come?